But business skills, technical skills can be learned. But what I tell people is become the person you want to be talked about. This is not about pretending to be someone else. Because when the environment gets chaotic, your true colors are going to come out. And so figure out how do you want to be known and then behave in that way. Because every impression you leave behind is forming your personal brand. And so whether it's a one-on-one conversation or an email or a decision or a group conversation, the impressions you are leaving behind is forming your brand. And so show up as a leader.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the All Things Leadership Podcast. This is a podcast where we bring together accomplished experts to share their diverse perspectives, compelling stories, and insightful lessons on effective leadership and personal growth. So whether you're a seasoned executive navigating the corporate world or an emerging leader on the rise, this podcast is your perfect go-to resource for valuable takeaways to fuel success in your leadership journey. I have with me today a very special guest in the person of Shalmina Babai Abji. Shalmina is a TEDx speaker, board member, former vice president at IBM, and an angel investor. She started her career as a software engineer and then moved into sales and sales leadership, leading global teams to deliver over $1 billion in annual revenues and serving as a key decision maker in hiring and promoting hundreds of professionals. She received extensive leadership training at IBM, Harvard University, and UCLA. As a global empowerment speaker, Abji has addressed attendees at companies, conferences, and colleges that include Google, Edward Jones, National Center for Women in Technology, Black Women in STEM, and Harvard. Shalmina, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
It is my honor to be here, Fred. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. The pleasure is all mine. Shalmina, you're also the author of the book, Show Your Worth, 8 Intentional Strategies for Women to Emerge as Leaders at Work. My first question for you, Shalmina, is what inspired you to write this book?
Yeah, Fred, it's a little bit of a story, but you do have to understand where I come from to really understand and appreciate why I do what I do. So you mentioned to me you're from Ghana. I grew up in humble beginnings in Tanzania, in a small town called Mwanza. And, you know, Fred, initially, just to please my parents, I started getting good grades. And then in high school, I had this dream that if I obtained a college degree, I would be able to lift myself and my family out of poverty. Now, that was a very lofty dream because in the town in which I grew up, there was no education past 10th grade. No one in my family had been to college. And there are no student loans for families like us. But I was convinced that if I got a college degree, we would get lifted out of poverty. And so with the support of my mom, who borrowed an equivalent of $500 from a woman in the community, I left home at the age of 15, even though we didn't even own a phone. And so that was a journey that I experienced many, many internal and external barriers. The journey also brought me to the United States. I got a degree in computer science. And Fred, I came here as an international student. And I went to a very small university, University of Wisconsin in La Crosse. And no one came to our university to hire students. But we went to conferences to look for jobs. And I had printed over 300 resumes and cover letters, and I handed it out to all these companies. But no one wanted to even speak to me, even though I was on the dean's list. I had worked 35 to 40 hours a week supporting and paying for my college education. The reason they didn't want to speak to me is because I did not have the right visa status. And so they were not interested in hiring someone who just had a one-year practical training visa. But on the last day of the conference, a startup technology company in St. Paul, Minnesota, called ETA Systems, interviewed me and hired me. and the $27,000 a year that they offered as my annual salary was more money than my parents could make in 10 years. And I was ecstatic. I thought, this is it. We're never going to be poor again. I'm going to work so hard. They will extend my visa and life is going to be great. With a spring in my step, enthusiasm, I show up to work and I start looking around, Fred. In a company of 2,000 engineers, I am the only woman of color. I look around and all these people, they have master's degrees, PhDs from Ivy League colleges, Harvard, MIT, Carnegie Mellon, Princeton, Yale. And I'm thinking to myself, what would I know that they don't already know?
Yeah.
What value am I going to create? And so in my own head, I started undermining my capabilities, underestimating my worth, and that instilled fear of speaking up because I figured anything I know, they already know. And so if I said something, either I would be stating the obvious, or I'm going to sound stupid, or I'm going to sound ridiculous. And so I was afraid to speak up. However, Fred, within 1 year, if I didn't figure out a way to create unique value, not just any value anyone else can create, but this has to be value that they cannot easily replace me, my company would not go through the expenses of extending my visa so I could live in this country and work. And so each of these challenges really turn into opportunities to learn and to grow. And so there's a long story in my book. I have also done a TEDx talk on how to overcome fear of speaking up, because sometimes as an underrepresented minority, as someone whose English is not their first language like me, we have a tendency to undermine our capabilities and underestimate our worth and not speak up. And really, if we don't speak up, then we don't even enter the leadership arena.
And talk about imposter syndrome, right? I would imagine that you had to experience breaking some of those barriers. But I want to go back a little bit, Shalmina, to your story. I mean, immigrating from a different continent and trying to break through the barriers. I mean, I think there's, you know, that you talk about it, overcome. Let's talk about what is it that kind of helped you, first of all, breaking that paradigm, you know, from your own family that you had to face as being, you know, the only family member to attend college because no family member had done that. That was one. Moving into a new country, that's number two. And then finding your way to break through into the system, right? And you know, fighting against, you know, the status quo, not being from here. And imagine, you know, the questions that you're asking and all of that. And I'm sure at some point you asked yourself, what am I doing here? What was it that helped you overcome not one, not two, not three, but all these multiple barriers, right, that helped you become, you know, this leadership expert, right, and helping, using your story to help other people navigate some of these barriers that you had to face yourself?
Yeah, that's such a great question, Fred. And there were many things that helped me, but I'm going to just share one with you in the interest of time. But my book shares the strategies that helped me. And frankly, the higher up I rose, the more I understood what really matters, moving from an individual contributor to a first or second line manager is a different requirement than moving from mid-level management into an executive. It's a different requirement moving from an executive to a senior executive. And so all these learnings over 30 years are in my book. But let me go back to the one thing that was the foundation of my career success. And I have actually coined a term, and I call it your power quotient. Just like you have your IQ, your intelligence quotient, your EQ, your emotional quotient, each one of us has our power quotient. And our power quotient is our ability it's our power to pick a response. Now, let me elaborate. Because when things are going well, you will show up well. But when they're not, when there is a disempowering stimulus, your immediate reaction will be to react. However, I teach people, my readers, and I had to teach myself that every time I get a disempowering stimulus, I can pause, I can scan my mental chatter, and I can intentionally pick an empowering response. Mm. So I'm going to peel this onion a little bit more. So when I was afraid of speaking up, my voice of fear is ringing loudly in my head. Shalmina, don't speak up. They'll figure out you're stupid. You'll sound ridiculous. They might even fire you. And so your voice of fear is just doing its job. It tries to protect you. And so when I realized that that was a voice in my head, and I also realized that when I believed that my ideas didn't matter, that voice of fear was ruling my head. But then I had an incident where on a Tuesday afternoon, I had this great idea. And I was thinking about it and my voice of fear was winning. I didn't speak up. It was as if this idea flew from my head into the head of the guy sitting exactly across from me. He stated what I was thinking. And immediately the room lit up with enthusiasm. Our bosses are patting him on his shoulder and saying, what a unique way to solve this problem. And I thought to myself, oh my God, I had that idea. I had that unique idea. Of course, I did what most women do, went into the bathroom, looked at myself in the mirror and said, Shalmina, you should have spoken up. Your ideas do matter. So that inner victory where my mindset went from my ideas don't matter to my ideas do matter was the first victory I needed to have in order for my voice of courage to even start to speak up. And then the next time, Fred, when I had an idea, of course, you know, we are conditioned. The voice of fear is ringing loudly. Don't speak up. But that day, my voice of courage, very faintly, Shalmina, speak up. Your ideas do matter. And then I was, without even knowing, I was feeding my voice of courage. Yes, I should speak up. My ideas do matter. And if I speak up, and if I create unique value, my company will extend my visa. And if they extend my visa, we never have to be poor again. And that did it. So I realized that these are voices in my head. And I can actually quieten the voice that is not serving me, which is your disempowering voice. And I can amplify the voice that will allow me to show my worth. In that case, I quietened down the voice of fear. And I amplified the voice of courage and I spoke up. And I often tell people that courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is doing what you must do, even though you're afraid.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. And so exercise your power quotient. You have that power. When we don't exercise it, we gift wrap our power and we give it away to people, to circumstances. Because, Fred, people will not always be the way you want them to be. Circumstances will not always be the way you want them to be. But you can always be the way you want to be. And you should be there showing your worth in every interaction.
Man, this is so powerful, Shalmina. And I know this is something that I can relate. It resonates with me and I'm sure resonates with a lot of people. It reminds you talk about the ability to choose that response. And I'm reminded of a powerful quote by Viktor Frankl. And this is what it says. And I quote, it says, between stimulus and response, there is a space. And that space is a power to choose our response. And in a response lies our growth and our freedom. And I think that sort of dovetails very beautifully to what you just explained here. And this is really, really so good. I know you wrote this book, you know, primarily for women, but I'm sure if there are men listening here, these are universal principles that I feel like we can all apply to our lives. So let's talk about some of the ways women of color specifically kind of overcome imposter syndrome based on whether your own experiences as you're, you know, navigating this this challenge yourself. Can you share some of that with us?
Absolutely. And today, Today, I can tell you with conviction, there is no such thing as imposter syndrome. Mm. It is a voice in your head that tells you, you don't belong here.
Mm.
Because that voice in your head has not recognized its worth. When that voice in your head is undermining its capabilities, underestimating its worth, yeah. then whenever you achieve something, you question,
yeah.
you ask yourself, who am I to be here? But here's the thing, you have worked hard to be here.
Yeah.
You have earned this spot. Do not let that voice in your head tell you you don't belong here.
Mm.
So this question I love, and it comes up all the time. And when I underestimated my capabilities and my worth, Fred, I also felt like an imposter,
mm.
that I didn't belong there. But the moment, again, in my own head, I recognized that I had value to bring to my organization. I had worth to create value towards the success of my organization. That imposter syndrome went away.
Mm.
So when we know ourselves, when we know our potential, when we don't undermine ourselves, and when we don't play small, we show our worth, and we will never experience imposter syndrome.
Mm.
Because we are not imposters. Why should we feel like imposters?
Show me, there's probably someone listening here, and they're saying, well, you know, I'm dealing with some of these real issues, whether it's, you know, the story of, Claudine Gay, who was, you know, forced to resign from Harvard University, or the late Dr. Antoinette Kandia-Bailey, who was vice president of student affairs at Lincoln University, who unfortunately took her own life, a black woman, I might add, and then citing in the suicidal note, you know, left a note about some of the injustices and the hostile work environments that she experienced. And there's someone here saying, I'm dealing with these real issues, right? It's
yeah.
how do I overcome them, especially if it's that blatant in your face, whether it's in discrimination
yeah.
in the workplace or whatever. These are real issues that, you know, women, black women or African-American women are dealing with. How can they overcome that, especially if it's something real and tangible, like some
yeah.
of these examples?
Yeah. You know, these are very tough situations. One of the books that I read a long time ago, which is, in my opinion, a great leadership book, it's by Don Miguel Ruiz, called The Four Agreements. And one of his agreements is, don't take things personally. So yes, there are things that are not right. And in order for us to be able to be the change agent, to change those things, we have to rise above those things.
Mm.
We cannot take those things personally. I do not want to judge anyone.
Mm.
It is their life. It is their journey. I respect whatever works for them.
Mm-hmm.
They have to make those choices. But for the listeners of your podcast,
mm.
I want them to know that leadership is not an easy journey.
Mm.
Leadership comes with responsibility. It comes with accountability. It comes, we have to rise above the situations and make decisions that will create a better environment for others. And so whenever I am in a tough decision, I tell myself that the decision I make here is not just for me. It's going to impact every woman that walks into this door that looks like me. And so with that comes this power that, yes, this stimulus is very disempowering.
Yeah.
I mean, I have had people tell me on my face that, are you sure you can do this?
Mm.
And yes, in my book, I was upset. I was angry. I went to my boss and I said, I don't want to work with this individual. Obviously, he doesn't think that I'm capable of doing this. And my boss, who was a black gentleman, said, it's your choice. You don't have to work on this complex. It was a complex, competitive sales opportunity. And he clearly thought I wasn't capable of doing it because he had never seen anyone that looked like me or spoke like me do anything that tremendous. And so my boss said, you can either not do it and reinforce his negative stereotype, or you can inform him, you can educate him of your capabilities. And I took that to heart, because my leader played a very important role in making me successful. And so everything he told me, I took it to heart. And I said, he's absolutely right. By me getting angry at that person, I'm giving my power away to him. Mm. Instead, I'm actually going to show him my worth, show him my capabilities. And when I win this deal, the next person that walks into his office that looks like me, she's going to get the benefit of the doubt.
That's right. That's right. I love that. I love that so well. We're not going to give the 8 strategies away, Charlamagne, because we want our listeners to really get this book and glean from all these nuggets. But what would you say are 2 of those nuggets or strategies that you share in your book?
Yeah. So obviously there are 8 are like a links in a chain, yeah. And any weak link can break the chain. But the 2 that I'm going to share with you today, Fred, are the 2 I learned as I rose up the leadership ladder. Mm. The first one is how you're known. So Fred, it took me 10 years into my career to ask for my first promotion. Wow. And then as soon as I got that promotion and I sat on the other side of the table, I sat in the rooms where I was giving promotions, where promotions were being discussed. I recognized the importance of what people say about you when you're not in the room. Mm-hmm. Your salary increase, your promotions, your stock options, your financial awards, everything is being discussed in a room where you are not present. Ah. And so what people say about you in that room
matters.
Impacts your career trajectory in ways that you don't even know. And so that's when I realized this is what we call our personal brand.
That's right.
Our personal brand walks into a room before we walk in, or our personal brand is present in a room where our name is mentioned. And so I teach people to build a personal leadership brand. Yeah. It doesn't matter what role you're in. Show up as a leader. And your brand is not just about your business expertise. It's also about your personal characteristics. Because I'm telling you, as a person who has hired and promoted so many people, skills can be learned. Mm. And so can leadership skills. But business skills, technical skills can be learned. But what I tell people is become the person you want to be talked about. This is not about pretending to be someone else, because when the environment gets chaotic, your true colors are going to come out. And so figure out how do you want to be known, and then behave in that way, because every impression you leave behind is forming your personal brand. And so whether it's a one-on-one conversation or an email or a decision or a group conversation, the impressions you are leaving behind is forming your brand. Mm. And so show up as a leader. Look around you, Fred, and look at the leaders you admire and respect. And you decide, how do you want to be talked about? And then become that person. Mm. So that's 1. How you're known. And then the 2nd one is who knows you. So there's an entire chapter on intentional relationships. Or first, there's an entire chapter on intentional personal branding, which we already talked about. And then there's an entire chapter on intentional relationships. Mm. Because in your ascent into the leadership roles, especially when you're moving from middle management into executive level roles, your name would not even be on the slate. You would not even be considered if you didn't have a leadership brand, if you didn't have a successful past track record. 3 people are being considered in a company like IBM, where you have a large bench. At least 3 people are being considered. The person that gets the job is dependent upon who will sponsor you, who will put their credibility on the line and say, I trust Fred to do this job? Because remember, when you are getting those executive and senior executive roles, your company's earnings per share are dependent on you. Your company's revenue are dependent upon you. And so you have to have to earn that sponsorship. Someone's not going to put their credibility on the line because they like you. They will put their credibility on the line because they have watched you. They have watched your growth potential. They have watched you lead in good times and in bad times. They have watched you motivate your team. They have watched you bring energy into situations when their situation is dire. They have watched you bring your team up when they're demoralized. You know, and so you have to earn this sponsorship.
Yeah.
And so I tell people that you have to intentionally earn relationships with your peers, with your boss, with your mentors, with your sponsors. And Fred, in that chapter of intentional relationships, I have actually quoted Alex Haley, who says, when you see a turtle on a ledge, you know it had help getting there. That is the story of my life and my career. This is why I wrote the book. It's to honor all the people that had helped me become successful. I want to help others become successful.
I mean, we could go on and on and on and on. I love this. And this one, the first one you talked about, personal branding, everything really resonates. I was having this conversation, coaching conversation with a colleague, with a teammate in the office the other day. And this person had been, you know, struggling, you know, getting roles and everything she applies for. It's, you know, it just, and we went down the path, and I was like, you know, let's peel back the onion a little bit. Let's talk about personal branding. And I asked this person, I said, when you show up, what do people say about you? What does your brand say about you? And she was looking at me like, I don't know. And that was the first assignment. I said, you need to go find out from four people, not people who are your friends who will just, you know, give you, you know, all sorts of, you know, but find out, go reach out to professional people in the workplace who can give you an unbiased opinion about who you are, and then come back with these results and let's take things from there. And I'm so glad you're hitting this nail, because we all assume, oh, well, we've been with this company, we've been in this role for so long, and I'm going to get that job and whatever. But there are certain principles that I feel like are powerful, which a lot of us are not paying attention to. And you touch on these two, and we're not going to give the whole thing away, but that's why we encourage our listeners to go seek out these truths in your book. But I love this, and I think this is a really powerful thing. And if only some of us will pay attention, you know, to you know, to think about our brand and how we show up and how people think about it and so who knows us, I think this will begin to open doors to many of us that we couldn't have even imagined. But I truly, truly, truly love this. And before we wrap up here, I want to ask you, and this is a leadership question that I love to ask. If you think about all the leadership philosophies and schools of thought, what would you say your leadership philosophy is, or what quote about leadership do you truly resonate with, or one that's really followed you or shaped your leadership career over the years?
There's so many, you know, trustworthy, integrity, bringing energy, motivating people, lifting people up, seeing potential in people, helping them see potential in themselves. There are just so many. And depending on what role you have, there will be different. I went through a class at IBM called Situational Leadership, where depending on the situation, different competencies are required.
That's
right. And so, right. And so it's not just one style fits all. You have to understand yourself. You have to understand your environment, and you have to understand, how do I show up in this environment to make sure that we continue moving towards our success?
This is so good. This is so good. Shalmina, author of Show Your Worth, 8 Intentional Strategies for Women and Men, I might add, right, to emerge as leaders in the workplace. But this has really been such a powerful discussion here and enlightening, and it has for me, and I hope that our listeners have really gotten some great nuggets out of this. I love the power quotient and the ability to pick a response. I love those two questions out of the eight that you have in your book. I love the fact that you challenge your listeners to become the person you want to be talked about in that room when you're not there. And most importantly, the quote about the turtle, which I think like resonates so much. Sometimes we feel like it's I can do bad all by myself, but if you see a turtle on a ledge, remember that someone helped get it there, right? And I hope
Yes.
that we all can lean on each other, network and support, and go through this together. Shalmina, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing these powerful principles that I know are helping people. And like you said before we started, this is one of many. Schedules permitting, of course, I know you're busy, but would love you come back and talk about leadership and some of these strategies that I feel like we can use to help people become the best that they can be. So thank you again for your time, and I really appreciate you coming on. And to your listeners, really, this is why we do what we do. So thank you for tuning in, and I trust that you've gotten something beneficial, thing or two out of this podcast. And until we come your way again with another episode of the All Things Podcast, All Things Leadership Podcast, stay well, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Fred.